BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Hawk Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You do my bidding, or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done watching TNA's WrestleMania 18. Actually, it was TNA Bound for Glory tonight. So we are here to give you the review and the rundown of the show. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. And with me tonight, do we have Spug?
I don't hear Spug.
Do we have Tim?
I don't hear the Canadian, no.
We don't have the Aussie either, do we?
No, we lost Nick a long time ago.
God.
And that Mace thing, he's no longer around either, so.
Can I get Internet Dave? Can I get anybody?
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Please tell me Mr. Alan Wojcik is here.
Yeah, I'm here at least for a little while. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm just sitting here kind of dancing to the time where I didn't expect that.
It starts swaying and grooving. I don't know why.
I kept sitting there going, wait a minute, I know it's Halloween's close, brothers, but damn. And then I kind of realized,
Wait till next week when we hit the Monster Mash.
Exactly. I would like to credit Lindsay Ward on Twitter, you know. Remember Lindsay Ward, you know. Right,
hey, Lindsay.
Yeah, it was, you know, her tweet that inspired that opening for the intro. So, figured I'd give her a shout out on the air and follow Lindsay Ward on Twitter. There you go. So, pay-per-view, huh?
Pay-per-view. Talk about time warping.
Oh, it felt like one tonight.
No kidding.
Brother. Apparently the reaction is mixed a lot on the show.
I think the reaction I've seen at least on Facebook and some folks on the Online World of Wrestling Facebook page is if you were going to end the pay-per-view that way, you should have switched the main events around. But hey, what do we know?
That's pretty much what I've been seeing around here too. Most of it's just. Why would you choose to, like, when you have to follow that, when you have to follow that matchup, why would you end it on a down note? If you knew you were going to have that big moment for TNA, why would you put something else after it when you knew you were going to end it on a bad note? And a bad finish.
But, you know, we would have came on the air tonight. Hulk Hogan ended the show. Why wasn't it Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode?
Yeah.
Of course, because we're smarks. We can't be happy.
No, we really can't. And if you stole the show, 267-297-1397 is our phone number. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll take your comments on in the chat room and on Facebook or Twitter if you have any. Because, you know, we're just a bunch of guys talking about a wrestling show tonight.
Honestly, I will admit, if they had switched these two around, I don't think I would have been crying. You know, why didn't the World Championship end the pay-per-view? Because if you've had that kind of finish booked, if you're going to tell that kind of story, that's the more interesting note to go out on, because it makes you tune in next week to go, wait a minute, what's going to happen to this immortal storyline that's been built, that we've been doing forever now? I mean, that, they're building up for that for the Angle and Roode, and it's obvious there's going to be a rematch. Of course there is.
Better be.
I never put it past TNA. The one thing that always surprises me is they're really... their willingness to put a belt or keep a belt on someone who is obviously injured.
And you clearly saw after the match, the referee did the whole X thing, and you saw Kurt Angle take off his shoe right away.
Yeah, he did the X thing. We knew that we knew Kurt Angle going into this canceled several appearances due to a hamstring injury. By the way, hope the Olympics thing works out for you.
We'll see you soon in London, brother.
His leg was taped up when he came out.
Right. But, this, I guess we should start at the beginning and then work our way back to the frustration.
Yeah,
we
should. We're doing a little bit of a discredit talking about this, really, because I know it's the frustrating part of the pay-per-view, but there is still a lot of good that happened.
Yeah, can we start with the match that none of us saw because you had to be logged on to Facebook to see it?
A Facebook exclusive match. Mexican America versus Inc. Who would have thought you'd hear that?
Yeah, shows the importance of your World Tag Team Champions, boys.
Oh my god, hang on. I have to put aside my game of Farmville to watch the wrestling pay-per-view.
Oh,
but Spug says this all the time when I sit and do, I watch UFC pay-per-views with him and Mace, that this has been a UFC staple for a long while, that they'll show prelim stuff there starting at, I think, like 6 o'clock rock?
Something along those lines, but you know, it hasn't really drawn the numbers.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the whole social media thing, but it doesn't quite work, you know.
But it was also on pay-per-view, you know, the 30-minute pre-show, blah, 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 blah. It was also on there. So, yeah, it was also on. If you ordered a pay-per-view or if it was for free on DirecTV or whatever, the Comcast, In the Man, whatever, they showed the first 30 minutes of the pre-show for free and everyone got to see it. That's beside the point. Who won that match, Alan?
The champs have retained. Mexican America retained. I'm not sure if Christina Von Erie was involved or not, because I didn't see it. I was busy with the 2-year-old getting her into a bathtub.
Which is more of an endeavor than trying to watch something on Facebook.
I'm sure it was a better wrestling match anyway. How about the one that we probably saw if we tuned in at 8 o'clock?
Go ahead.
TNA X Division Championship on the line. Champion Austin Aries defending against Brian Kendrick.
We open with a wrestling match.
Amazing.
He still looks like an extra from Star Wars in those pants, man.
I was thinking like he was, I think he was trying out for Aladdin.
Maybe that one too, yeah. Needs the Iron Sheik's boots.
Jeez, and you know, here I was complaining about the jacket he came down to that looked like he got mugged by a bedazzler. I will gladly have that jacket back now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree with Rock. It was nice to see this open with a wrestling match as opposed to the rest of the gimmick matches that you had on the rest of this deal.
But if you think about it, we open with wrestling and end it with wrestling.
That's amazing.
Everything else in between was, you know, a bunch of hokey, and we'll get into that. But
yeah, we'll get there.
What do you think of the match?
It's a nice way of opening the match. It's a nice way of opening the pay-per-view, rather. I mean, it's a fast-paced match. Austin Aries is still one of the best talents you could ever put on a pay-per-view. Brian Kendrick hit one of the sicker sliced breads I've ever seen in this one, and Aries sold it, you know, like Rock taking the stunner, you know, sprung back to his feet and boom, back down.
He sold it like a champ. You gotta give him credit.
Oh yeah, that looked brutal.
I wish
sold it a little better though.
What do you think, Alan?
I thought it was a solid opener. I've been a big proponent of A-Double having the X Division Championship. I wish he had had it when he was in the company as the Austin Star. Oh, wait, I can't talk about that, right? Because it was pre-Hogan Bischoff, and nothing exists before Hogan Bischoff arrived. So, but, yes, I'm very happy that Austin Aries is your X Division Champion, and there's a lot of matches with some good baby faces that you could bring AJ Styles back again home to the X Division. You could bring Kazarian into the X Division again. You could even, I don't know, have Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, but nah, that match would never happen before. Probably never happen everywhere.
But that would mean they would have to push Samoa Joe.
Oh, we'll get to the Samoan submission, whatever he is, later, won't we, Omega?
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. They pushed Joe plenty, you know, into guardrails, into turnbuckles.
Out the door of the building in Philadelphia.
Out of here.
Countdown to his WWE contract is on.
Umaga 2, Umaga 2.
He's looking back in 05 going, crap.
God, that's not so bad now, is it?
I would have looked good with dreadlocks.
Alejandro was a cool manager after all.
But yes, Austin Aries retains his X Division Championship in the opener, and then we got some Full Metal Mayhem.
Welcome to Gimmick Mania, brother.
It's Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn.
And I heard you screaming on this side of the state of Florida when this match was going on. It's like, holy God.
Omega loves his Rob Van Dam. What can you say?
It was very entertaining because I've only seen bits and pieces of their feud in ECW. Only from like the rise and fall of ECW DVD did I ever. And one of the other releases they did that I ever get to see any of their stuff. And wow.
So we go back to the time warp. We go back to, what, 98, 99 with these two?
Yeah, complete with the EC dub chant.
Exactly.
Look where you are.
Well, you're in Philadelphia, not South Philadelphia. You're in kind of North Philadelphia. Anyway.
I don't care how many times I see it, the Van Terminator is still one of the sickest spots I've seen.
Oh, yeah, that was evil. Brutal. Yeah, unfortunately, my feed went down for a couple minutes, but I was seeing you guys in our production chat talking, and you're just going like, botch there, and I'm going, dear Lord, load back up. I got to see this car wreck. And it turned out not that bad a car wreck.
No, RVD and Jerry Lynn is just one of those matches that always works. The two just perform so well off of each other that they can have some botches and be a car wreck match, but it's going to be a damn interesting car wreck.
It's almost like Flair Steamboat or someone that's worked together for so many years, the two of them could just go, you want it? Yeah, you want it? Yeah, all right, we'll see you out there.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I would have been very surprised if the match had gone on after that Van Terminator. I was like, John Cena's not in this match, man. Jerry after Lynn, but heck.
No, the Van Terminator ends it. I'm not sure. It's rare when he pulls it out, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone kick out of it.
Especially when it's ladder and chair.
Ladder and chair. And it's more impressive now because RVD used to need help to hold the chair while he was jumping.
Yeah, that was Fonzie's role to put the chair up right in front of the guy's face.
Oh. Right. Yes. He kind of perfected that in recent years, so no help needed.
Alright, and it was Rob Van Dam with the Van Terminator, or as Mike Tenay called it, the Coast to Coast, getting the victory.
Fuck you, Shane.
And did you hear Taz on commentary? He made sure he got the name right. Rob Van Dam would have killed him. But then, he mentioned that in the commentary on the replay. That gave me a good chuckle. Then we moved on to the matchup we were just talking about: Crimson, Samoa Joe, and Matt Morgan Omega.
Let's see, two underrated talents versus one enormously overrated one who somehow gets to be the Goldberg of TNA.
And he said on a radio show that, you know, he's not anywhere anything like Goldberg.
Oh, no. Not at all.
The military service is the only difference.
They have two completely different colors in their name.
One has hair.
I like that. Omega.
More tats.
Yeah, and I will remind you, Crimson, you won tonight with a spear. Fuck you.
You know, we won after the carbon footprint, but hey, who's counting?
It wasn't really the carbon footprint, wasn't it? It was just like a running knee.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a carbon footprint.
But he but they said,
his ambition's a little low.
God. Yeah, I totally agree with Rock on this one. We used to joke around about we had missing wanted posters for Desmond Wolf. I want one for Samoa Joe's push. Because this is a guy who, when I covered TNA in person, when he came in 2005, you know, to steal Jim Ross's catchphrase, business is about to pick up, I kept joking around with everybody that I sat with going, okay, I'll make a bet, Bound for Glory 06, this guy's got the world title. And Bound for Glory 06 came, and it's like, okay. What the hell happened here? I mean, how hard is it to book this guy? Look what ROH did with him for years.
It's not hard to book him, but yeah. TNA is using old writers who like to use the old talent, and you know, later tonight, the very old talent. You know, they don't like pushing the guys that have been in the company before they got around here. They want to push the people that they've been close to their whole career, which is Hulk Hogan, Sting, you know, Ric Flair. It's like they have a hard time trusting anybody that they didn't see personally early on in their writing and booking careers.
Of course, why push anyone, you know, new?
Of course not.
No.
God, need to do that.
Don't need to do that at all. But Alan, you mentioned Nigel, and you mentioned Desmond Wolf. We don't need those wanted posters anymore. I think we found them.
Well, I found somebody that looks an awful lot like Desmond Wolf.
And, you know, where can we find him?
You're going to find Nigel McGuinness at 10 o'clock Eastern on Wild Talk Radio's excellent All Our World of Wrestling Radio program. And before that, we've got another new guest. Should I reveal that now or should I wait till my exit?
Well, it is 11:30. Isn't this your exit, or you got to...
Almost. I can go through this segment here, but I will say that the New Age Outlaws, unfortunately, due to scheduling with the damn WWE screwing my show over, BG James out, so...
We'll dance around your next guy, so we'll just dance around him just for a few more minutes, and then we'll
sure.
It. Yeah. Our next matchup was...
Ooh, Falls Count Anywhere. Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Huh? Or Ander daughter, who knows?
Kennedy?
No. That's copyrighted, Rock. How dare you?
Kamikaze Ken, brother.
The Lost McMahon.
Hornswoggle ain't here, dude.
He's the really lost McMahon.
Anyway, it was Mr. Anderson versus... I'm trying to get back to it.
Add back to Gimmick Mania, brother.
Anderson, Bully Ray, Falls Count Anywhere. This was a pretty good brawl.
Yeah. If Bully Ray is good at one thing, it's getting things cracked over his head.
And he can draw the heat.
Yeah. I give him that.
He's done pretty well as a singles heel. I gotta give him credit.
Anderson's tailbone, I bet, is sore as hell right now.
Oh, like Bully Ray's feeling any better after hitting the guardrail a bunch of times.
Oh, gee, yeah, the guardrail and the Japanese table making an appearance in TNA.
No gimmick on that table tonight, brother.
Oh. Anderson overshoots just a little bit, doesn't quite hit. Nobody was unhurt in that one. That's a rough spot to take when there's absolutely no give on the table.
Jersey Girl asked, did the TNA buy a WWE announce table?
They probably borrowed some tables from Wachovia. Is that the name of the building now?
I
stole it out of a yard sale that day.
That the Flyers play in. Is it Wachovia Center?
I think it's the Wachovia.
Yeah, they grabbed some of their tables from their
Now it's the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, God.
They change banks every 2 months.
That's right, Wells Fargo Center, yay. They grabbed some tables from that former bingo hall, but those bingo hall tables usually broke really well, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
All you had to do was sneeze and...
And they would break, yeah, pretty much.
Just barely strong enough to hold up the bingo cards.
I mean, it was just pretty interesting to see RVD, Jerry Lynn, ECW people, Bully Ray, ECW people. It was just like, wow, you know, and Anderson with that hair the way it was, he kind of looked like that the Sandman, maybe. For a minute or two, I was looking at my screen going, when will the Sandman sign with TNA again? After he did it the last time, he swore he was done.
So that move he hit with that didn't break the table, we'll just call that a rolling rock?
I guess so, man.
My favorite part of the match is finding out that Bully Ray could also summon the magic microphone from the roof.
You could probably do it.
I probably could. Here, hold my hand up. Oh, wait. I don't have a crew guy over my roof. Never mind.
What? You don't have a crew with you 24/7?
No. Send their asses home.
They just send out his press releases and then they leave.
Pretty much. Here, I'll call you when I need you to hold boom mic.
Was this a feud ender in your mind? Do we get another match out of these two?
I think this is pretty much it. I mean, it's TNA, so, you know, gimmick matches like this really don't mean shit in the course of a feud.
Which we'll get into in a bit.
But it's still a pretty good way of ending it off. I mean, I think Bully Ray needs something to do. Anderson needs something to do.
What do you do with Anderson from here?
That would require me paying attention to TNA in the last 6 months.
Mr. TNA, Alan Wojcik?
I'm not sure where he goes after this. I mean, it all depends what you're going to come out of TV with. That's why I brought up the idea of, do you get one more match out of these two to go to... Oh, crap. Turning Point, is that the...
That's the next one.
It's Turning Point and Final Resolution ends. Yeah, and I'm not sure where you go from here with him. This is where, I guess, not having a secondary championship kind of bites you in the ass, because you can't really have him go after the X Division belt.
They do have one.
What did they call it this week?
The Television Championship.
Television Championship. Formerly,
find them.
Formerly the Legends Championship.
Yeah, he's too busy. He's too busy looking for frickin' Potsy and Ralph Mouth at this point. Which sucks, because Eric Young is so awesome.
Mr. Anderson did defeat Bully Ray in this matchup.
I'm just depressed now, because it just made me realize how long it's been since we saw him. Oh, man. I miss Eric.
You gotta tune in. You never know where he's at.
No, you really don't have the tune in impact.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, you really don't. It's a struggle sometimes. We'll get through one more match before we head out to break. It was the Knockouts Championship match. Oh, boy. Karen Angle. Oh, my bad. Karen Jarrett. As the special referee when it was Madison Rayne, Winter, Mickey James, and Velvet Sky all battling in a four-way for the title. Thoughts, guys?
There's this many knockouts left.
I thought
when Hogan came in, he fired all of them.
Apparently, there are still a few. Jersey Girl wants to know when did that match turn into a Halloween costume contest.
Yeah, she brought that up to me too. I was like, wasn't really paying attention to that because as soon as Karen got in the ring, I was just like, and cue the burial of the division in 3, 2, 1.
Well, Karen was dressed as a referee and the others were dressed, let's see, Velvet is Wonder Woman apparently, Mickey is Mafia, Madison is Army, and Winter is Voodoo according to Jersey Girl, so.
Okay, what was Tracy Brooks dressed as?
Herself.
It's a good enough costume.
Damn right. And then her husband shows right up on a promo afterward this match. I was like, what the crap is that?
Jersey Girl says biker for Tracy Brooks.
Okay.
We'll go with that. That kind of works, I guess. We'll go with it. As you could tell in the match, Karen Jarrett was not favoring the good guys.
Really?
What gave that away? Maybe her walking around with a frickin' tiara?
Just a tad.
I mean, dear God. I never liked her when she was helping her husband, the original, win things. Stay with me, because yes, we've had a couple husbands here. And I never dug it then. And okay, cool. She went home, and then Triple J went home with her. And oh crap, he's back. And oh man, are we seriously gonna write her in a TV because of the rumors about Surge? But I digress. As I said before, I'll say it again. This was the kind of match that if anybody but Velvet had won, this would have been thanks to the ladies. See ya! You can all get future endeavored, go to WWE, go to WSU, which has got a really cool pay-per-view in November.
That they do, and we'll be talking about that much more down the line on OWW Radio.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem if Winter had retained, but didn't we do this with her before, where she won the belt in her first title defense? She lost the belt? I'm trying to really remember, and I know I'm straining everybody's brains here, but anybody can remember? Did she won the belt to No Surrender, but between No Surrender and here, I don't remember the girl getting in a ring defending it unless she was in a tag match or anything like that.
I don't even remember her getting into the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can smell my eyeballs smoking. I'm not even going to try anymore.
We should talk about how the finish came down in this one.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Who knew that Winter could channel the Great Muta?
For another month in a row, she channeled the Great Muta.
Damn right. And they didn't mention it. Come on!
Yes. Now I missed this spot. What color was it?
I think it was blood red again.
Now, if your name is Winter, surely you spit snow. Surely.
You're thinking way too much into this.
I'm just playing to the name. There's no thought here.
But you need special effects for that, man.
You need white. Can I this please is, get a white fit capsule?
Just because this was the old, in ECW's hometown doesn't mean you have the ECW locker room back there. At least if you believe all the shoot interviews I've listened to.
I don't see how this is a hard concept. She gets handed a red spit capsule. I'm asking for a white one.
I'm trying to remember if Grip Muda ever shot out white. I always remember green, yellow, the mythology was always green, yellow, red, orange, and I think like the yellow is the most deadly. I don't remember.
It's been a while. I remember when Tajiri was doing it. Anyway, I am amazed we talked that long on a knockouts match.
Well, enjoy it because you may not see it happen for a while.
We used them all up in this one match. You know, we really don't have any other matches possible now.
Yeah, I mean, what does Velvet do here? She goes back to fighting Angelina again? Yay.
Woohoo.
And the Gail Kim clock is still ticking.
The Gail Kim clock is ticking. Where the hell did ODB came and went again? Tara came and went again.
Jackie Moore is busy cheering on at Texas Rangers.
Yay. So, I quit match?
I don't know. Does Sorokin want to take a break here? Do you want to keep going? Well,
we've got you. I want to just kind of roll along with it here.
Okay. We can go along to another one of the matches that I just sat there going, wow, this is really great, really great. What the crap just happened? If this was one of those, I had Mace in my head giving the cornet face going, wah! Yeah.
I quit match. AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. Another two that will always work if you put them in the ring together.
Yeah, I said that.
Depending on how the ending is booked.
I said that on the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page that this was a really good thing for TNA, I'm sorry, Impact Wrestling, because this is a feud that has gone on going back to ROH before TNA even existed. And everybody seems to, like I joked on the thing, yes, wrestling TNA existed before they went to Orlando, right, Dixie?
Really?
Yeah, I was there for some of it.
Nashville, what's that?
That's an awesome place. Taylor Swift tortures people. But I said, these two in any incarnation, whether they're a tag team, winning the world tag titles, throw Samoa Joe in there at Unbreakable 05, have them feud like this, you're never going to go wrong. Until you book an ending like you did tonight.
We will get there. I mean, it was a really good matchup between the two. I mean, of course it is. It's AJ and Daniels. That promo that the Fallen Angel cut in the middle of the match, where he's talking about, where he's talking to AJ's wife. Take the kids to bed because I don't want them to see Daddy get murdered.
That was
rough. Good Lord!
That's one I wonder if that was them on their own calling that, or is that Pritchard and Russo sitting there going, you know, it would be really great since we've alienated half our audience as it is. Let's tell all the children to leave.
Let's tell the children to leave, and then we're going to tell them that we might show murder on television.
Exactly.
TNA snuff film, tonight.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
God.
I don't know what you thought, but this was another one of the matches that these two have had that I just, wow. And what better, and, you know, I think it was you, Omega, that may have said that nice way to no-sell all of that abuse he took, including having a chair choked on his throat for, what, two minutes almost?
That wasn't me who said it.
That was some guy that's not on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah. So that really never happened then? Okay.
No, yeah. It didn't really happen.
Didn't happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What the hell? I get it. I mean, it's the coward heel ending. You know, okay, AJ's got the screwdriver that Christopher Daniels has tried to kill him with twice in the match, and he just kind of looms and walks over toward Fallen Angel, and he just goes, "I quit," and runs off.
he ran like he heard Free Hookers in the back, man. Holy crap.
They must have been quick hookers because he came right back out after they got the...
Though that angel's wings on the stage to break the fourth wall for a minute, that thing looks sick as hell, but you could totally see how he protected him, and that's the name of the game here.
Right.
But wow, what a... That, I would mind seeing these two go again at Turning Point. But where do you go from here? Can you put these two in? I mean, you've had them in an I Quit match. You don't have Six Sides of Steel anymore. Elevation X, anybody?
Oh, no. No. We are not doing a scaffold match.
I saw that thing with AJ and Rhino in person, and that was just scary to watch.
I wouldn't put it past them to do that match.
Why not?
That's such a... Oh, man, that match has got bad news written all over it, though.
The finish of this...
Honestly, they have had so many matches in the past, it's hard to one-up it at this point.
Yeah, it really is. And the finish of the match reminded me of SummerSlam 06, Foley, Flair, I Quit, where... Flair is about to hit Melina with the bat, and then Foley screams, "I quit."
Well, see, that actually makes a little bit more sense because you're playing to Foley's, you know, right. Kind-heartedness. He can take too much. He can take so much punishment that, you know, there's no way he's going to say "I quit" himself. But if I threaten somebody else, if somebody else is in danger here, he's going to say it instantly.
Right.
Which is a good psychological way of ending an "I quit" match. This was him just. Being a chicken shit.
Well, he's been a chicken shit the entire time in the feud. In a way, he's always, you know, trying to be one up on AJ Styles. He slipped on the rope. He just beat him, and he bragged about the win and stuff. So it's kind of fitting in the character Daniels has been pulling off lately.
I just wish they would figure out what the hell to do with him. God, the Fallen Angel character. Works. Just let him be it. Damn
I know. It. Jeez, he was such like in that ring today. He was super villain level.
Oh yeah, and you guys have both said the facials he was giving off in that match. Were just
he was
on the
fucking
spot.
Evil. And just to have him run off to end the match, you know, complete no finish, just killed it.
He had the crowd at the palm of his hand, and then TNA booked it.
See, it's almost a point where, like, it's almost a point where if these guys were calling their own match, you know, I'd start calling audibles. You know, I'd start, okay, this ending is, the crowd's behind us, this ending is shit, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, the screwdriver thing was a harken back. I know it's going to make me sound old, but it was Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard in one of the first I Quit matches I can remember at Starrcade 85, where he drove part of a wood chair into Tully's head to get him to say, "I quit." I thought that's, oh, wow, they're really going there. And nope. Save the blood for later, boys. The real stars need it, brother.
Oh, God. Shall we move on to that?
No, we have one more thing before that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
That guy.
Do we want to spell his name?
Comes out. I'll say it this way. He came out. In a mugshot t-shirt.
It took me a minute to realize what the hell it
fucking
was.
Classy.
I thought it was his brother on it. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Rebby Sky. I don't know. Maybe it was a shout out to Greg Helms.
It should have been. That's what exactly what it should have been. It should have been Matt's mugshot on the front. And on the back, it should have said, "I'm not that bad."
Good thing the bottle of water is off to the side of the table and not anywhere near my hand right now, because I almost sat a spit take. Now, this has bothered me for years, and maybe it's because I know from seeing the relationship in person when they announced Jeff as the founder of TNA. And I always type it. I even did it tonight on the OWW Radio Facebook, like, co-founder, hi, dad was involved. Dad's $1 million were involved here. Bob Ryder and a boat were involved too, but
we're not listening. La 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 la.
Exactly. And you know, there's issues in that relationship that go back for decades if you sit and listen to Jeff talk about it. And I don't know. I don't know this whole thing of pushing this guy who is came legitimately out on a pay-per-view, bombed out of his gourd, then does 10 days in jail, and his reward is, hey, you're the semi main event on the pay-per-view. Go get him, Jeff.
Yeah, we're going to give you a payday at Bound for Glory, Jeff. Come on. The guy does not deserve to be in TNA. He doesn't deserve to be in a ring. He doesn't deserve to be employed. What he pulled was the single most embarrassing thing I've ever witnessed in wrestling.
Yeah, and Rock
is an absolute, is the biggest disgrace I've ever seen in the business.
Mm. Yeah, Rock can testify to this because it happened one night when we were watching Impact and a fan on the OWW Radio Facebook page, we were joking around about, they did a segment where Hardy was going around doing his 12 steps and making amends, and he happens to come along to Kurt Angle, and Angle goes off on him, and we said something to the effect of pot, kettle, black, la la la, and this fan went off on us about, oh, it's this, it's that. It's like, no, that's bull crap. This is a company that ran Matt Hardy out of town, but keeps Kurt Angle, who's got 2 DUIs in the last 2 years, supposed entrapment, domestic abuse of Rock-a-Con. And he's your world champ.
Yeah.
What a novel concept.
Yeah, it's turning into like the NFL of pro wrestlings, where, well, we don't care if you're a felon. Have a world championship. We're gonna make light of it. We're gonna make you seem like a star because of it. You know, we're gonna market the shit out of your life's flaws.
Does that mean Kurt Angle, Ray Lewis? Or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh no.
I went there. He ain't Michael Vick. I don't, that one's too dark and deep and ugh. Let's come out of the ashes and talk about old people.
Anyway, that was a pull apart brawl between Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Hardy. By the way,
supposed to be.
Anyway, the old.
But it was neat to see Al Snow, former OWW Radio guest, go to the archives because it's the only thing that was in his episode.
Gotta love the server crushing. Anyway, the old people.
Yeah, they quit. They cleared out the old folks home for this match. Hulk Hogan versus Sting for what fucking reason we came up with this week.
I almost expected Brutus Beefcake to be out there, brother. I don't know why.
And it's a TNA pay-per-view, so when Ric Flair is invited out to be at ringside, and Eric Bischoff's son that we officially confirmed on TV tonight.
Thank God.
Is the referee. It's a TNA show, so what do you want to bet the hero overcomes the odds?
Gosh darn it. Don't you know? I joked with Rock during the day when I popped on and off Facebook watching football. I said, "This Hogan's going to win." Why? I says, "You really think he's going to take a bump? Are you kidding me? The guy is... guy has a surgical repaired back, knees, hips done. He's got more parts on him than RoboCop." And no disrespect to Terry Bollea, but brother, you don't need to be doing this at your age. I don't care how much money Linda supposedly took you for. And the unfortunate John Graziano car accident that's still going on in the news here in Florida. But it's just, and all of a sudden it was like, boom, Wait a minute.
There's
Rock.
One.
He's on his ass.
There's one bump.
How many bumps did he take?
Three, brother. He took three bumps and a finisher.
All I could see was Alan counting them in the chat.
That was me.
I was rocked.
In my head as you were doing it, it was like, one, two, three, bumps.
The three bumps of doom, brother. But joking aside,
that was actually fun.
It's not a wrestling clinic, but at least it told a story.
It was fun. If you're a Hulkamaniac, it was fun.
Brother.
It's kind of like the giggity thing of Family Guy now. Every so often I'll randomly drop brother when I'm walking around somewhere. Just to see if anybody gets it.
I better not be like Giggity, because he says that when he sees a girl he likes.
No, I just
would get very awkward.
I just think it's ridiculous. And this is just that he even rolled over and was put into the Scorpion Deathlock was amazing, knowing the physical damage that Hogan has taken.
Well, it was the softest Scorpion Deathlock / Sharpshooter you ever saw.
When your victim's rolling before you even get all the way over? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was akin... You could tell. It was akin to Jericho putting the Walls of Jericho on Triple H when his quads were blown out.
Mm.
You knew, it's like, okay, he's hurting. This isn't supposed to happen. Let's be very easy with this. And I kind of like this, like, you know, and of course we get to the end of the match. Sting wins with the Deathlock with a very reluctant Bischoff Jr. Actually, and this continued after the match was, you know, morals ahead of loyalties. Which I actually kind of like.
It's a first.
I know, because you know, like, I was expecting a Nick Patrick again.
Right, you could just they were, you know, building it up for that, and then all of a sudden,
no.
This was 10-10-10 in reverse, basically. It took me a few minutes. It sunk in during the actual main event. I said, "Wait a minute, this is where we were last year." And amazingly, I said it to Rock during the show. I think this is the first pay-per-view in the longest Bound for Glory since he won the belt in 06 that Sting wasn't involved in the main event of Bound for Glory with the world title.
With the world title. He was technically the main event because this was, you know, Rock Hogan all over again.
This was WrestleMania X8. No doubt about it.
Or it's Rock Hogan 2 with Jackson James in the part of Sylvain Grenier.
We were predicting it when the crowd was cheering him on his way out to the ring.
Oh, yeah.
We called it right then and there that this was going to turn into Rock Hogan again.
Pretty much.
And it's exactly what happened. Hogan, for no reason, suddenly grew morals again.
That he told us about 4 months ago.
Yeah.
He told us about 4 months ago.
Thank you, G4, for, you know...
Spoiler. Great storytelling!
But none of us matter, because we're not the market that Bischoff and Hogan and Russo and apparently Bruce Pritchard and maybe Dave Lagana, depending on what his role is going
to
be.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, it's nice of them to market to the mentally challenged, but, you know, we're wrestling fans.
We have a little bit
of insight here.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't get... What he's been healing since before 10-10-10, and now all of a sudden, oh, look, Sting's getting beat down. I used to like Sting.
Yeah.
I think I like Sting again.
I've liked Bischoff. I've liked Bischoff for months.
I like Bischoff for decades, and it's like, but he's an ass. I'm bleeding. But wait, Sting's bleeding. Oh, who gives a crap? I need the spotlight, brother.
So basically, Hogan reached his turning point.
There is a little bit there where they could work off of this, because you had Bischoff lay out his own son with a steel chair. His son.
Oh, I'm sure that's happened in their house. Come on.
Oh, God, America.
Yes, surely.
He used to take his wife to the Gold Club in Atlanta so he could watch her make out with the strippers. I'm sure that's a real morally standing house.
I said, pass the salt. Bam.
Is your homework done? No. You got a B instead of an A.
I told you to clean this fucking room. Do you, or else, you know how hard it is to clean blood off the wall? You're gonna find out. But there is something to play off here, because it's Bischoff's son who grabs the chair while they're beating down Sting, stops his father. Father lays him out where Hogan could go, okay, I am working with disgusting people. You know, where there could be like a slight moral switch where he realized Bischoff is way, way beyond what he would be. I doubt TNA is actually going to work with that, but fuck it.
There's a lot they could, you know, they can do and all that fun stuff, but you know, it's TNA, somehow they'll screw it up. They've been building that angle for 2 years, just think about that.
That's sad.
Yeah. So Hogan, Hulkamania is back, woohoo!
Ready, I do like how Sting came out in a Hulkamania shirt. I laughed.
He came
good
in,
marketing.
He came out in a red and yellow suit about 2 weeks ago with a Hulkamania shirt.
It was funny.
Yeah.
You know, during his 1 day of, I'm in charge! Oh, wait. No, I'm not.
Alright, and so Hulkamania's back, and the main event, how do you follow that?
Very, very difficultly. TNA Championship. Kurt Angle defending against Bobby Roode. I will admit, it's a little hard to get into and believe someone as a main event at the biggest pay-per-view of the company when their intro starts with a beer can opening.
Hey.
I'm just saying, it's just a little tricky. It kind of tricks the head a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I thought they did, but match-wise, okay, we'll get to the finish. But match-wise, I thought they actually did a pretty good job. I mean, they were getting the crowd back into it after, you know, they already hit a climax on Hogan.
Thank
Audience
you.
Viagra, as I called it.
Private jokes in the chat come to air. Awesome. I like it.
Sorry.
No, they're good. That's the whole point. Anyway, the match was good. I got the crowd involved, and then we got the finish.
Then we got the finish.
Oh, brother!
It was a good one. I mean, there were a lot of close calls in this match, a lot of false finishes. They were working back and forth really well. Dueling chants got going. Bobby Roode hit the crossface in a lot of different situations. I like the psychology. I like that it was working, and then the TNA finish happens.
Oh, yeah. Which...
Didn't we see this at SummerSlam?
I think we've seen this a lot. But you don't do it at the big... you don't do it as the main event finish of your biggest pay-per-view. You don't.
Yeah.
One thing is, one of the big things that TNA just never gets. The big pay-per-view is where feuds are supposed to die. It's where big moments are supposed to happen. You don't have screw jobs. You don't have dirty finishes. At least not in the main event.
Everyone remember John Cena and The Miz this year at WrestleMania? Talk about a screwy finish. So TNA is just following in the footsteps.
Of course they are.
Yeah, some guy named Mark Jabroni, which I really hope is a stage name, after I listed on the Facebook page that TNA drops the ball again, of Kurt Angle winning was always in the book, should have ended the pay-per-view with Sting Hogan. He came back and said this, and I propose this to you guys and your listeners. Name five wrestlers in the past decade, and he specifically went with the past decade because he knew I was going to go with other people who won a world heavyweight title the first time they challenged for it. Then, in quotes, act surprised, Bobby Roode lost. I came back with, well, Bill Goldberg, WCW, Hulk Hogan's return to WWF in 1984, Warrior when he beat Hogan at WrestleMania 6, Bret Hart when he beat Ric Flair in 1992. He came back saying that five in the past decade, 2011 till now, but that really doesn't make any much sense, does it there, Mark? It was a major part of my point. Sure, it's happened, but any number of things happen seemingly random at all, wrestling at all times. Today's wrestling doesn't allow for first-time challengers winning a title right away. So the night that Eminem beat won the world tag titles on SmackDown never happened. Cool. How many people similarly were disappointed when someone like CM Punk or Jeff Hardy didn't win a title match the first time they challenged for it? So, yep, Randy Orton beating the guy whose name I'm not supposed to mention by WWF at SummerSlam in Nassau Coliseum, that never happened either, right, Mark?
Right.
None of that happened, brother.
Especially when it, okay, when it's someone like Bobby Roode, who's never been pushed as a main event talent before, this is their very first push up to the main event, it really shouldn't have happened at Bound for Glory. Like, this should have been the second matchup between these two. It needed better building. I mean, Bobby Roode might, okay, fine, he wins this, you know, Bound for Glory, what, point tournament.
Bound for Glory series, which half your people got eliminated by Joe, to show how important this thing was.
But you know, he's never been in a world title match before, especially not at one of the biggest pay-per-views. I mean, it just came off as a little rushed, which is how TNA does their storylines.
And Kevin Sullivan, not the wrestler, who was the producer of these vignettes, who used to work for WWE, did an excellent job. I thought they were really well done. But we kept saying on All World of Wrestling Radio, Spug and I said it, Mace and I said it before Mace was, you know, put into the cryogenic chamber for a little while. This only goes one of two ways. You do this build up, the boyhood dream coming true, like Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12, or this ending.
I think the one thing that bugged me about this ending the most was the referee kind of double tapped that third count. It's like he, it's almost like as a reflex, he went down for the fake three, missed the canvas, and then went, oh shit, and then boom. Number three.
Yeah, he kind of looked like he hit something or
It almost looked like he had to double check to make sure that, you know,
this was the
Roode was under the rope and, you know, angle, you know, the screw job finish was going on.
And I don't see what I'm doing. bad stuff. I'll repeat it again. You needed to flip. If this was the intentional ending to set these two up for another match, should have ended it with the happy ending of Hulkamania, brother, as opposed to Bobby Roode lost.
Yeah, it really should have been. Like, it's Bound for Glory. It's your big pay-per-view. You need to end on a high note. I mean, I know WrestleMania just came off of The Miz walking out with the championship. That had a finality to it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that had an accomplishment set in. There's no accomplishment here. Kurt Angle didn't have to prove a damn thing. This is just a dirty finish for the sake of a dirty finish. And if they knew they were going to end it this way, yeah, they should have had Hogan and Sting ending. Because it still does the exact same thing. It makes people wonder, how are they going to handle this on the next episode of Impact? Because now, they want you to think, well, what the fuck is going to happen to Bobby Roode? He just got screwed out of a championship. What they should be thinking is, Immortal's been going for like a year now, and suddenly Hogan isn't in Immortal anymore.
Hulkamania is back, brother. Tune in to Impact this Thursday.
Buy your t-shirt at ImpactWrestling.com.
Yeah, we've already got the shirts printed and everything.
Exactly.
I think my favorite part of that whole beatdown was the random 2-second shot of Abyss.
Yeah, what was that about?
He's kind of in Immortal, but he's a
He got kicked out of Immortal, but you know he's just standing there, just idly watching as all this happens. Okay, I want to know how much he got paid for just dressing up and standing by the curtain for 2 seconds.
You almost expected that Green Lantern ring he was wearing last year to come into power. Hogan calling for him. Oh, this brother, come on. Use the Hall of Fame ring. Da, 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 da. Oh, wait. Sorry, that's Marky Mark that does that.
So, guys, overall opinion on overall thoughts, over grade, whatever you want to call it for this show?
It gets a C.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, C plus, fine.
I'll be more generous with a B plus. This, okay. For, well, the matches were still very good. I mean, there were some bad endings in there, that's TNA for you. But also some good ones. There are some very high quality matches in here. This is what TNA should be capable of at all times. If the finishes had been cleaned up, if the match order was a little bit better, this might have creeped into an A for me.
It gets the B plus if it's a different ending and a couple things, but it wasn't so.
I'm with a make it B plus in that range. Good show, worth you know the price and you know to see it and all. Good stuff tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Since Alan Wojcik is staying up way past his bedtime, and we thank him so much for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me someone to talk to.
Yeah. Give thanks.
Not a problem.
Plug your show on Tuesday night.
All right, as I mentioned, the New Age Outlaws were supposed to be with us. However, due to Road Dogg's tryout with WWE as a Road producer, he's out. And as I mentioned, instead of trying to do Billy Gunn's solo, Marcus Pistorius at Crossfire Entertainment that's doing the event on November 5th that we've been having all these guests for, like Al Snow, Finley, in a couple weeks, Shane Douglas, and Becky Bayless. He has graciously brought in former ECW, WCW, WWE star, and I believe his show is called T4. Stevie Richards is going to join us on All I World of Wrestling Radio at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, Nigel McGuinness will be here with us. I'm
nice.
Very excited to have Nigel. He was on the show before I ever came aboard, and he's graciously giving us 30 minutes of his time. So we'll get to see how he feels about the new ROH show on Sinclair Media, and could we possibly see him get back in the ring at some point. So, thank you for having me with you guys, and a lot of fun, and I'll talk Tuesday with everybody.
Oh, thank you for coming by.
Take care.
And that was Alan Wojcik and the TNA Bound for Glory. Stay tuned for more WTR Sunday Night right after this. You gotta take the stand, you don't have to hide. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride. I gotta be a man.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest name stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Martel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Reno.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19, you big fat sucker!
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Gastron, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Honey vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling films today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
This was the song that opened up Monday Night Raw, and there was barely anyone there. No one was backstage. Had a couple cameramen, a producer or two, you have fans like we have tonight, but there was nobody else. Not a wrestler, not anyone. But, you know, that's how things go on Monday Night Raw. But here on WTR Sunday night, we at least have two people who showed up. Isn't that right, Omi?
The show must go on.
That's why we are here. Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio live on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. I'm Rock. That's Omega. We're going to...
Isn't it amusing that this is... That we'd have, I assume, an unintentional walkout following this last episode of Raw.
Yeah, it's unintentional, but apparently Spug walked out. Tim walked out, I guess we'll call it. So did his cable company. Or his internet company, whatever it is that connect, you know. Anyway.
You're trying to watch TNA Bound for Glory? No, we're going to have to cut your line there just to keep you safe.
Yeah. So, Raw opened this week, Omega. It was Triple H in the ring.
Triple H in the ring. And a parade of supporters out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, you had John Cena.
Cena, of course. Superman backs the boss. The only one talking sense, by the way.
This is very true. Then you had Sheamus.
Sheamus next. I actually liked that they gave an explanation for why he turned face.
Yes, it took them forever. And
yeah, well, at least they finally touched on it a little bit.
Which is kind of surprising that they would, but good on WWE.
I say it because, you know, Sheamus just kind of vanished for a while and then came back, and all of a sudden, no one else was brave enough to fight Mark Henry. I'll fight Mark Henry.
And we see now that worked out for him.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah. But
Hey, it got him back on Raw.
Got him back on Raw as the number two babyface for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then out came CM Punk. And I'm just going to put this out there. He's kind of dropping now.
Dropping now?
He's kind of blending back into a normal baby face. He's not...
That's kind of unfortunate. Like, there's only so long... Like, I sense with Laurinaitis back in charge, he's going to be... You know, he's going to have the chance to be a little bit more defiant. But he is one of the top baby faces on Raw. I mean, you can't play that angle forever.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying he's now blending... He's not... CM Punk, he's turning more towards a normal baby face. Still top guy, but more back into the WWE image.
Yeah, somewhere in the norm.
Yeah.
The pipe bomb is quieter now.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's because he doesn't have it, like, okay, well, just like tonight. He was a Triple H supporter, you know, and if they had that in mind for him, then of course he's going to blend back into normalcy. You know, after the events of Raw, he's going to have an antagonist to play off of again.
Yes, and we'll get into that. But the show started off, Triple H, CM Punk, John Cena, Sheamus in the ring.
I would say I love this segment.
This was the best part of Monday Night Raw.
This is the absolute best part of Monday Night Raw. And this is hilarious. It's like, okay, there's only four of us here. We're still going to put on a show. We're still going to entertain people and have a fight. So... All right, Cena, Sheamus, you've got a match right now. And I loved Punk's part in this.
Oh, it was tremendous.
Punk, I got a whole table full of pipe bombs for you. And Punk's reaction is, do I get to wear your sports jacket? You can wear my sports jacket. I'm in!
And then he has to... After all the years being in the business...
Well, that's the provision.
After all the years in the business, he also has to become the timekeeper, and he didn't know how many times to ring the bell.
I know! Check on the audience. Two, three, two or three.
And he actually did get it wrong. It's actually, you ring the bell three times. He rang it twice.
Well, whatever.
Because it's ding-ding-ding, not ding-ding.
Does it really matter?
No, I'm just pointing it out. I saw the replay.
He could ring it 18 times.
I understand that. I saw the replay last night, so that's why it was still stuck in my head that I caught that part of it. But yeah.
That's what he should have done. He should have just stood there clanging it until Triple H told him, no, that's enough, that's enough.
That would have been funny, but, you know, CM Punk got to be the announcer all by himself. Vince McMahon's
the announcer, timekeeper. He bragged about getting double pay.
Double pay. Always got to enjoy double pay. And then he gets Vince McMahon screaming in his ear, go to break. And they went to break. They come back. Guess who shows up?
Oh, Darth Vader.
Oh.
I swear to God. Well, no, there wasn't Vader coming out. It was Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
The Emperor.
The Emperor. See, what the people say, everyone say, oh, I thought Vince McMahon was fired.
No. He was relieved of his daily duties.
Right, he is still the CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment. They made that clear 1 week in some promo that he was still the CEO of the...
Somewhere around there they made it clear.
They made it clear. I remember someone saying he was still the CEO. So, that's his job title. That's why he can still go to the board meeting that... did in Triple H.
Mm-hmm. The Triple H era is over. And I still ask, did anything really go so wrong here that it puts all of Vince's insanity to okay, we can't have that now?
There was no $1 million Mania or whatever the fuck it was called a few years ago.
Vince!
For Swedes.
Vince kept his job through aligning with a demonic wrestler to kidnap and crucify his daughter in a dark wedding. That wasn't grounds for termination?
I don't think they were a public company back then.
I don't care.
I don't think they went public in early 99. I think they did that late 99.
That's still fucked up.
I know. He tries to kill himself and he's still the boss.
No, you try to kill yourself, you just end up with a web show on WWE.com.
Thank you, Tim White.
I still want to know how he survived running through the fan with a giant wall of blood splattering Josh Matthews.
That was some really good comedy.
Debatable, but it was different.
It was, I mean, for what it was, it's not great comedy, but it, you know, everyone laughed at the stupidity of it all. But I want to make one thing back to the opening part. John Cena, you know, listed all of the people he worked for, including the Mike Adamley era. And the anonymous GM that apparently got relieved of his duties.
That's the part that bugged me. Okay, we get to this part. Okay, John Laurinaitis, who couldn't look more like a fucking villain if he came out to the Imperial March. He comes, you know, he gets put in charge, and, God, I was going somewhere and it just completely derailed because I was imagining him walking out to the Imperial March. He gets put in charge as the new temporary interim general manager.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, where the fuck did the last one go? And you obviously didn't forget about him. You mentioned him this week. You didn't do anything with it. What? There was no, like, okay, we're going to hand the reins back to the guy that handled it for like 8 months.
He didn't even get to say his piece. You know, everyone misses
I wanted to hear the chime. What the fuck? This is my job.
But no.
Michael Cole standing there going, it's in all caps!
But there was no response from the general manager. Apparently he's futured endeavored.
That or his audio files got deleted.
But now you can follow the new interim general manager at twitter.com/@WWE Raw GM. I think it is something like that. He'll take your tweets.
Oh. Oh, I'm sure his inbox is loaded right now.
He's blowing up. But as we said,
Monday night was basically devoted to making you hate him as much as possible.
Even if you already hated him before.
Here's the thing. Okay, he comes out, he fires JR.
Yeah, I was just gonna get to that.
He reinstates Miz and Truth. So it's like, you have to wonder at some point how the hell if there's a board of directors who's overseeing the WWE and is making these decisions, how could they still support the guy who, like, the last guy got fired because Miz and Truth were allowed to attack, you know, cameramen and stage crew and all that. What happens, like, now, like, the same board of directors is okay with him reinstating those same guys?
That's honestly a good question, because if you think about it, that's like, why bring back the people who are causing the problem?
Wait, these guys were senselessly attacking our employees, and you hired them?
Logic got thrown out the window. Unless David Otunga is a really good lawyer.
Oh, God. Otunga.
But, yeah, it's like...
Okay. I still want them to follow up on that little YouTube video they posted the day after they got arrested. After...
The I'm sorry video?
Yeah, the I'm sorry video, which... They're in a completely it's the morning after they get arrested for breaking and entering, assault. You know, these typical charges that would account for this.
Right.
They apparently the next day had a fresh change of clothes. Were in like somebody's, you know, what it looked like was in somebody's
tour bus
with a high quality professional camcorder on hand and a cameraman.
Just so happened to be there.
And they were out of jail fast enough to actually record this in the morning and get it online that same day.
Now, Omega, how long does it usually take to get a video online and all that stuff?
At the quality that video was shot at, you're looking at... You're probably looking at a 6-hour encode. That was shot professionally,
right,
and then sent to YouTube. That's a 1040 video.
Speaking of video, this is where I'm going to see if I still have it loaded up. Omega, have you heard about the new video we have on the Wild Talk Radio Facebook and YouTube page?
No, please inform me.
Well, guess what? If you go to your little wildtalkradio.com page right now, I'm going to play everyone a little video for everyone to see. So if you, you'll just hear it, but everyone else can see it. Take a look at this video right about now. If it would play, there we go.
Are you going to say something about Wild Talk Radio or what?
I sure am. Every time we get a chance, we check this out. WildTalkRadio.com. You should too if you want to be on the inside.
This is Axe, and I'm Smash. Then you better listen to Wild Talk Radio, or we're going to kick your stinking teeth in.
Yes, folks. Axe and Smash and Demolish cut a video promo for us.
Nice.
That's awesome, don't you think? It's just plain awesome. But yeah, I had to throw that in there because I forgot about it during the break. Anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, the Miz Truth. Yeah, they're back, and let's go back to the JR bit.
Do we have to?
That wasn't scripted at all. No one knew about it.
That Vince fucking with his favorite puppet again.
In his hometown.
Of course, in his hometown. Where else would it happen?
In front of his wife.
In front of his wife.
Who was very proud of her husband. And then... Right around their... I believe it was their anniversary week, too. Vince really, you know...
Vince is a fucking devil. Yeah. I want to know, like, he's the color, he's the best commentator that the WWE had ever had. He's one of the most loved personalities that they've had in years, and he's been one of the big staples of Monday Night Raw. He's pretty much the voice of wrestling. Why did Vince hate him so much?
I really don't know. I mean, he's the best announcer I've ever, you know, one of the best announcers ever, and... Oh, Vince McMahon gets his jollies off, him and Kevin Dunn. Oh, anal bleeding. Dr. Heine. And all that, that fun stuff. The Kiss My Ass Club.
Yep, yeah, the Kiss My Ass Club, the constant firings. See, we had the scene where Vince was pulling things out of JR's ass.
Yep, Dr. Heine.
Dr. Heine.
Yeah. But guess what? Jim Ross is back this week.
Spoilers!
It's not a spoiler when WWE.com is promoting it.
Brilliant.
It's on their Facebook page. I'm looking at it right now. They actually put up the video, too.
Wow.
Exclusive fan footage of JR's return back.
What was the point of firing him if you're going to bring him back the next week? Just because he was in his hometown.
But
well, it's tradition at this point.
However, it was not to bring him back as an announcer. The WWE insider is reporting he has a scoop. You know, Vic Venom is back, but he's not WWE insider. Jim Ross will team up with John Cena to take on Michael Cole and Alberto Del Rio this Monday on Raw.
Oh, boy.
If that's not can't miss television, I don't know what
God.
Is.
I have to watch Michael Cole in that ridiculous wrestling outfit and the headgear and the stick-on tattoos again.
And Jim Ross in his Oklahoma Sooners jersey and going back to in-ring action.
He is... Isn't he undefeated as a tag team wrestler?
Who, Jim Ross?
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll go with that. I'm not
I think I remember that accolade being joked on once or twice.
I'm going to quickly look on Online World of Wrestling to double check these facts, just to see what Jim Ross's career...
I just remember it being brought up is all.
I believe you. I'm just now curious, you know. Curiosity strikes me sometimes. But yeah, Jim Ross is coming back to fight.
Ay.
The guy's been through Bell's palsy and everything like that. And
there's another match he never asked for.
Yeah.
You know that guy you can't stand? Yeah, he gets to keep his job. The guy you love? No, we're going to keep fucking with him.
And he is not undefeated in tag team action.
Okay.
The coach and Al Snow beat JR and Jerry Lawler to win the right to announce Monday Night Raw at Unforgiven 2003.
Oh, how could I have forgotten that one?
You don't remember the Al Snow and coach days of calling Monday Night Raw?
God, how could I forget that match? You know, with the stellar moves and JR hitting a 450 off a ladder.
And it was really, really impressive.
You know, the crowd was raucous. The roof literally blew off. Literally blew off. Girls throwing panties into the ring.
But, yeah, Jim Ross is back at least this Monday. Yeah, let's fly you back down to Mexico to wrestle. From all the great tradition in Mexican wrestling, Jim Ross and Michael Clark are part of the main event for the first time WWE has done Raw in Mexico.
Well, a way to make an impression.
But we do have breaking news regarding Mexico and stuff like that.
Breaking news regarding Mexico.
Yeah, and the WWE and the Hall of Fame. WWE is insider is reporting that Mil Máscaras is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2012.
Or as WWE TV fans know him, that guy that was referenced when Rey Mysterio debuted.
I believe he was also in the Royal Rumble 1 year, 97 was maybe. He? I think he was in 97 Royal Rumble.
I don't remember him being in the WWE at all.
So where, again, I'm using my memory. I'm trying to remember.
Royal Google, Rumble. Motherfucker! Google!
That's what I'm doing. I'm getting Royal Rumble 97 up. Because remember, that was the year they had the minis, the Mexican minis.
Oh, God.
Coming in at number 11 was Mil Máscaras.
Huh.
I am going to... He lasted 7 minutes and 28 seconds. I'm going to ask you this question. Who eliminated him?
Oh. Oh, God. I'm a WWE watcher. You know my memory doesn't go past 2 weeks.
Himself.
Oh, he's one of those.
He eliminated himself.
Did he get scared by a snake?
It does not say if he was scared by a snake, but yeah, I think...
It just says he eliminated himself.
It just Wikipedia says eliminated by himself. But he was able to get rid of Paroth and Cybernetico.
Cybernetico.
Yeah, these are two people who actually competed in the room.
Cybernetico.
Yep. We're Rumble 97, folks.
That sounds like a kaiju big battle wrestler.
And if you missed our interview with the voice of kaiju big battle Loud and Noxious, check out the archives at wildtalkradio.com for Otaku Talk Live.
That's some good whoring.
Damn straight. Not even going to go there. Anyway, I'm not even going to let you make the joke. We'll just brush by. So Mil Máscaras is going to the WWE Hall of Fame.
I do like that they are continuing their more recent trend of putting in wrestling legends that had nothing to do with WWE, so it's more of a wrestling Hall of Fame rather than just WWE.
This is true, and this is Triple H's probably induction of, okay, so I'm kind of screwing up on this whole Sin Cara thing, so let's honor a real Mexican legend. Possibly, maybe.
Speaking of, they are countering, they are going to counter the offering of JR versus Cole one more time for Sin Cara versus Sin Cara, good old mask versus mask down in Mexico on SmackDown.
And yeah, that was also announced on WWE.com as well.
So who's going to win, Sin Cara or Sin Cara?
I think Sin Cara's going to win.
Really? I thought Sin Cara was going to win.
No, I have a really good feeling this Sin Cara guy, he's in my fave five like Booker T. I think he's going to win.
Okay. You insist.
Just call me crazy. I think he's going to win. I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but I would go there just a little bit. Wage a little bit. That Sin Cara wins on Friday Night SmackDown. Speaking of Friday Night SmackDown...
They're assholes.
Speaking of SmackDown, it's going to be live again in November.
Is it?
Yes.
One more trial run.
One more trial run. It's at the end of November. This is where I posted it on Facebook, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network is that plug. That it was announced on Thursday that it will be on Friday, I should say, that it will be Tuesday night, November 29th, SmackDown, Super SmackDown Live returns to the Sci-Fi Network, featuring Randy Orton, Sheamus, Mark Henry, Big Show, Sin Cara, Christian, Cody Rhodes, etc. for another Tuesday night special, and it will be re-aired on December 2nd. The only one who hates Super SmackDown Live is Alan Wojcik because it goes up against Online World Wrestling Radio. They're coming for his ratings, but yeah, that's in the news. But looking ahead now, I guess, kind of. I don't know what's really announced, but there's a pay-per-view next Sunday.
Is there?
There is.
Oh, goody.
And we're talking about Vengeance.
Vengeance.
And I don't know what they've announced on, you know.
where Mark Henry is ripping off Pulp Fiction. You know, the one we've already ripped off for another promo. A far better one, no less.
And Mark Henry is going to... Have they announced that he's fighting Big Show?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think. Did they announce that?
I don't know if they've announced anything from Vengeance other than, hey, Mark Henry's going to be there.
No, they didn't. They did announce in you know, that awesome John Larkin had a segment.
Oh, like I could understand Super Dave.
It got a response like a fart in church. It will be Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena for the WWE Championship.
Swear to God. The man has a voice like he smoked a road flare. I don't know how he got that voice.
But somehow he got it. But he, apparently John Cena, because John Cena was never pinned in the Hell in a Cell, he gets his rematch at Vengeance.
Good work on losing. There's a match.
We have a pay-per-view, so you need to get a match. So, yeah, it's Alberto Del Rio and John Cena in the main event. I can't say that I'm too excited about it. What about you?
No. Not in the least. Not for these two again.
Then we have, it is officially announced, Mark Henry takes on the Big Show.
No. I'm sorry, I tried to give a fuck on that one. I couldn't find one.
Also,
I like it, like, I like how they're, I like how they're booking Henry, but.
Yeah.
I don't know, that match is going to be so damn slow.
It was decent at Money in the Bank, was it?
I don't remember.
I think. Or the pay-per-view before. Either way, they had a decent match. I can't remember, there's too many pay-per-views, and, you know, Money in the Bank was just a one-match pay-per-view.
They had a decent match at some point.
Some point in the summer that they
some
showed.
Some point, sometime, I'm sure, in the last 15 years.
Yeah. And then the other official match announced, Triple H, the WWE COO, still. The board of directors has approved that Triple H will team up with CM Punk to take on the returning Miz and R-Truth.
Really?
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 You mentioned Miz and you just have to do that. I don't know why.
It's like Steve Austin and what? You just... have to do it.
No, you don't. Seriously.
But they do.
Shut the fuck up with a what? Some of you chanting it were too young to even remember what it was said. Why it was said.
The chant they need to bring back is "You suck."
I miss the "You suck."
So that's the announced lineup for next Sunday's pay-per-view.
It's a card.
It's a star-studded lineup.
Yeah, that's about all I can give it. It is a wrestling card with wrestlers of some sort on it.
It's a pay-per-view that shouldn't happen.
It sounds like a great edition of Monday Night Raw. You're gonna have to pay $39.99 for.
Is it $39.99? I thought it's more than that.
God, this should be $9.99. This is not a pay-per-view caliber card in the least.
That's gonna make noise. I'm gonna get rid of that. Yeah, I think it might be $39.99. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's not worth. they can only announce dream matches kind of like that, you know.
Yeah.
Is it really worth the money to shell out next for next, you know, week? I know we will, but...
Oh, for some reason, we seem to be required to.
We write it off at the end of the year.
That does help, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I just looked at the on the man guide, it's $44.99.
Ooh!
Vengeance, $45.
Yeah, that's exactly what you'll want after this show.
But guess what? We'll be back next week to talk all about it.
Hopefully, we will be back next week.
I know we will be back, but I don't know.
Bunch of other assholes who don't show up to their own fucking show.
I know. Spike's like, fuck it. You enjoy the clusterfuck. Great.
You missed some good matches, Spug.
You did. You missed some good matches after the fact.
You missed some matches and some hilarity.
And Mace is, you know, fucked off. And he doesn't care about us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Fuck you, Mace.
Go to hell. Oh, wait. You're in Australia. You're already there.
And we do this because we know he'll listen to the archive tomorrow and go, like, fuck you guys.
And to our other Australian listening, I don't mean you people. You're fine. I only hate the Australians I directly know.
Exactly. But this is where we're going to end this end this show, because I can't do quick hits just with Omega.
Yeah, and I, you know, honestly, though, I think we should do the Great Debate. I think, you know, I think we should go ahead, get over with, get all the way to the finals, and when Spug and Tim come back, say, okay, it's the finale of the Great Debate. Your choices are Vince McMahon and Zach Gowen versus the Spirit Squad.
And
who's
the
best?
And yeah, D-Generation
and DX,
X.
The best rivalry.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's rigged, it's shammed.
Yeah, it's rigged, it's shammed. Warrior wins.
Exactly. So we'll be back next week with, you know, the usual segments.
The usual segments, the usual people.
And maybe I won't talk so much on this show, because I'm not even in the goddamn intro.
You're not even in the intro. Shut the fuck up already.
Oh, well, then you prologue OWW Radio tomorrow night. On, I should say, Tuesday night. Well, it is technically. Yeah, anyway. It's past midnight. Fuck it. OWW Radio Tuesday night. What's going on?
I don't know. I've been saying it.
Alan did the spiel about 50 minutes
ago.
I
know. Then why the hell do I have to do it?
Because I wanted to see if you remembered what he said. you didn't know, it's not the New Age Outlaw. It is Stevie Richards, 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, and Nigel McGuinness, 10 p.m. Two straight hours of jam-packed excitement. OWW Radio with Alan Wojcik and the Spug Guy. That brings us to Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Otaku Talk Live with the Week in Geek and some really fucked up stories out of Japan. I haven't looked anything up this week, but I am positive they're there.
They're there. They're always there.
Always there.
You know your toilet motorcycle bike thing? I actually saw that on the actual, like, late night talk shows. We're actually starting to talk about it, after the fact.
Oh, we got it first, assholes.
You did, and now it's on actual TV.
All these people ripping off our shtick.
Actually, David Letterman did a top 10 list about it.
Fuck you, Letterman.
Stealing Omega shit. It's on Friday, I believe, so. Anyway, that's OTL 9 p.m. on Wednesday night. The countdown to the 200th episode of CB Radio continues on Saturday. It's now 198 coming up.
Yeah.
So November 5th is 200. Go us. Wasting all of our time. Anyway, this Saturday night, check us out. Myself, Rob Parks, Subway. We talked the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Like this week, we talked about, we talked about the Florida's alleged serial pooper.
Serial pooper.
Serial pooper.
Okay, I have one question. Was it Golden Grahams or Captain Crunch?
And we talked about how a mother and daughter can rob a bank together.
Love family bonding.
Exactly. And how we also talked about how a bridge can get stolen. A 50-foot long bridge.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I swear, I just turned around, my back was turned for like 2 seconds, and was gone.
Yeah. So that's CB Radio Midnight-ish Saturday nights live on the World Talk Radio Network. And then next Sunday night, we'll be back here, hopefully. People like Tim Stein and Spug.
Hopefully.
Talking WWE Vengeance.
Let's Spug bust off for that one, too.
I wouldn't put it past him. Be right off the card.
God. So, Rock, let's hope for the best next week.
I don't want to do this. This week I was not going to say a word until we got to the quick hits.
You're doing fine. This is fine. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it was a great pleasure. This is the first time me and you have actually done, like, a show.
Yeah.
Just the two of us.
You know what? Fuck them. We didn't need them.
We're dealing with reliable ones.
Only ones we can count on.
Exactly. So, for Omega, I'm Rock. We'll see you next week. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Omega on YouTube at TJ Omega. We're out of here.
WildTalkRadio.com